The Carrie and Tommy podcast is a great way to bring a bit of fun to your day, every day. Chemist Warehouse Half Price Vitamins and Cosmetic Sale is a great way to get great savings every day.
Yeah, welcome to Thursday, everybody. Kicking off the show with a little bit of a surprise.
Well, I don't want to pump it up too much. It's not really a surprise. It's just a bit of a fun thing we can do together.
Is it?
Yes.
I think the last time we did something together, you sucked snot. No, I sucked snot out of your nose through a nose kettle thing.
This will not be as gross as that.
Actually, no, we did something together after that.
What do we do?
You blindfolded me and made me sniff an off seafood platter and I spewed. So we do lots of fun things together. So naturally, I'm really excited about this surprise.
Now, you know how the other night we were doing the project and there was an interview with Seth Rogen, and Seth Rogen spoke about how much he loves pottery, how he started doing pottery.
Yes.
Yes. And then we went to a break and you and I were chatting about pottery and you were like, I've always thought I'd like to try some pottery.
No, I thought I'd like to. I'm going to make all my crockery for my house.
Well, you can start today because next to you, pull the sheet off, is a...
Oh, this is good.
It's a pottery wheel.
And what do I have? Is this some radio prank where I have to mould off seafood?
No. We're literally going to try and make pottery.
Oh, great.
But we haven't read up on anything.
This will be so good for the listeners. It's such an audio thing, pottery, isn't it?
You know why it'll be good for the listeners? Because I think it's going to make you happier.
Yeah.
And in turn, happiness makes you funnier.
Right.
So the benefit will be that you're just a funny guy for the listeners.
Great. This is good. I can't wait to
We don't know anything about it. We've got a big clump of clay. 131060, call us throughout the show if you've got any tips because we honestly have no idea what we're doing.
No,
my mum's very good at pottery. She used to make our crockery growing up.
Jenny.
I mean, I think she made a couple of things, not like a full set, 12-piece set or anything. But she was really good at it and it lasts for ages. It's beautiful. We don't have a kiln. The kiln, is that what you need to then toast it?
Toast it. Yeah, you do. You toast it.
Cook it.
Yeah.
But does an oven work?
I don't know. Once again,
haven't Googled the answers. We will find out all of that. Let's go to a song.
We'll find out from callers?
I mean, sure, if it means we don't have to Google 131060, can I put it in the oven? We'll get the clay and we'll get going.
Ripper. You know Sonda's going to get weird and going to try and get us to reenact the ghost scene.
She's already asked me and I said that's just not going to happen.
Is that the song from that? Oh, pottery is quite good on the ears. I was wrong after all.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right around the country for your Thursday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little and
He's cutting the clay. We are getting into some pottery this afternoon on the Carrie and Tommy show.
Welcome back to Easy Listening.
If it's good enough for Seth Rogen, it's good enough for us.
I'm actually really excited about this. We've got a pottery wheel.
I'm just about to plug it in.
I haven't seen the movie Ghost, but this is what this music is from.
Is that what that's from?
Yes, and Sonda keeps asking us to reenact the ghost scene that I haven't seen.
She's such a weirdo.
But all I know is it's quite sexual. Oh. And my family's now come along to watch a bit of pottery making, so I don't reckon that's what we should do.
Just given Evie a piece of clay.
Yeah.
Ollie's
she
got a piece
says
of clay.
She's done that. We don't know anything about this. We've never touched a pottery wheel before, but Evie said she's done it at school and the stuff goes everywhere, is what she
Does
said.
It? Okay, so I've got a square on the thing.
Yep, so you've wet it. You've wet your pound of flesh.
I've wet my pound of flesh.
Oh, now you're turning it. Oh, he's spinning the wheel. The wheel is. Oh. Oh, don't let the thing fly off. You've got to hold it, don't you?
I think I've got to stick it down a bit.
We need some advice.
Oh.
131060, if you've ever used a pottery wheel before, because we have not.
How desperate we're getting, if you've ever used a pottery wheel.
We haven't Googled anything.
Evie, quick, go outside and call in.
You've just put a slab of clay on a wheel and then you're rubbing it between your hands. Your hands do look the part. Okay, firm. You've got to press firm, I think. You've got to be firm. Oh, no, that's going to make a very lovely vase.
Okay. Why do I think this would be easier?
Okay.
It's come off again, mate.
Is it meant to come off?
I don't think so.
Okay, sure. Kelly is on the line. Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
We're good. We're doing a bit of pottery. Have you done pottery
before? Welcome to the class, Kel.
All right. What you need to do is start with a good old splat straight into the middle of the. You need to get a good rolling in the ball and give it a puh straight on the thing so it sort of sticks to the wheel.
Oh, okay. With a bit of force. Okay. I think you've got it now. It's stuck on it now. And then what does he do? Just got to make sure he never lets his hands off it.
Now he can.
He's good at that.
Years of practice, Kel.
Now you can mould it.
Now you can mould it. Okay, what are you thinking you'll make today, Tommy?
At the moment I'm going with what appears to be a long, shallow vase.
Okay.
Yes, not by choice. That's just how the clay seems to have ended up.
Kelly, have you got any tips for how to make a vase?
Absolutely not. Pottery is not as easy as it looks, but it is fun.
Okay. Well, we're trying to relax. Seth Rogen says it's his form of meditation. Thank you, Kelly. Yep. What about Declan? Declan, are you a man who likes to sit by the wheel?
Yeah.
Good on you, Dad. Thanks for your input.
What do you know about pottery, Declan?
Not really that much, but all I know is you've got to have wet hands.
Yeah, wet. Okay, I got it with a bowl.
Dip them back in again. I think they're too dry. Okay. No one wants dry hands. Okay, good tip, Declan. Thank you. Tennille, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you going?
Good, good. We're doing some pottery this afternoon. Tommy, he's looking pretty good. What tips have you got for us?
Look, you've got to do it, you know, make it somewhat sloppy. Give it a good throw onto the wheel and just start very slowly.
So when you say slowly, is that how fast he's pressing the wheel? Can you do it in different speeds, Tommy?
Yes, I can do it in different speeds. But whenever I turn it up to Neil, it seems to get a life of its own and wants to move off the thing.
It does do that. So keep it quite low. You want to have it like the shape of basically like a small bowl.
And then you can
start to build on that.
And then how do you
sort of level?
How do you get out the middle so that you could put something in it?
Okay, so you just want to put your thumb in the center.
Yes.
And you just keep the wheel going and going, and then that'll it'll start to form more of a bowl shape. So, and then you just let it go slowly. Don't push it too hard. Just let it go, and it'll do its thing. But it does take a bit of time. It takes maybe about 90 seconds to get it into like a concave that.
Oh, he's been doing this for 5 minutes, and this looks like a piece of poo.
You want to push it right down. You want to have it quite low.
Okay. Push it down and keep it low. Thank you, Tennille. Casey, what are you doing with that?
I think that's getting there.
Casey, Tommy's trying pottery for the first time.
Okay.
Do you know anything about it?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm an amateur potter. I've been potting for about 3 or 4 years now.
Me and you both.
I think you're a little bit out of your depth. It's not that easy.
I think you're out of your depth.
Casey.
I mean, he's not doing as bad as I thought, Casey. His plan is that he's going to make his entire crockery drawer's worth of stuff himself. That's what he's decided.
How's that for out of his depth,
guys? Do you have 10 years spare?
What do you mean?
I mean, he does have a lot of spare time, Case. Yeah. All right. You faded Casey down. You didn't want to hear any more of Casey's encouragement.
I actually think my bowl's not that
bad. Why are you using that tool?
Because it smooths it out. Look at the inside.
Actually, that bowl, Evie, what do you think of the bowl Tommy's made?
It's good.
Thanks, Eve.
It is good. I'd eat something out of that. Do we find an answer to whether I can just whack it in the oven or whether we need a kiln?
Oh, great. Give us a call, 131060. It's got to break. I'll finesse this because then we can chuck it up.
Okay, good.
We'll take your calls next. Carrie Bigmore and Tommy Little. Change gears out of that.
I was about to say, your pottery skills are exceptional just as you stuffed it.
I just ripped it.
Oh, you've ripped it.
If you're just joining us, we're in the middle of pottery class.
Yeah, it's a bespoke piece.
Yes, we heard that Seth Rogen's been doing a bit of pottery for relaxation, and so we've got a pottery wheel. And look, Tommy has plans to do his entire crockery set today.
Yeah.
He's struggling to do. You were starting with a vase that's turned into a plate.
My vase has turned into a plate, and then I just ripped a chunk out of the side of the plate.
James is on the line. James, you used to go to pottery school or do pottery at school, is that right?
Correct. Yes, I did.
Give us some tips, because my concern is what do we do once we've made it because we don't have a kiln?
Oh, mate, just chuck it in the oven about 280 degrees.
Okay.
It should come out mint.
How long?
Oh, about surely half an hour. Wouldn't hurt to go another 10 minutes.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the ghost pottery scene, James?
The ghost pottery scene?
Oh, no. How old are you, Jane? Oh, you're 19. No, you wouldn't have seen 19. The ghost bar
racing. No,
don't
sorry,
worry. No. Pretend this chat isn't this weird.
Ever seen Patrick Swayze?
Well, no.
No, I mean, people have seen it. Jeez.
I was just thinking a 19-year-old probably doesn't know a lot about Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Anyway, Michaela. Michaela, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, Michaela, how old are you?
11.
Have you seen the ghost photos? No. Okay. Michaela. Well, our last caller, James, said that I can use the oven to cook it, but you don't think so. Is that right?
Yeah, because it will make it too hard and you can't make an object out of it when it's all dried up.
Oh, so what if he's finished it? He doesn't want to do any more moulding. He's got his plate and he just wants to, like, seal it. Could he pop it in then?
Yeah, after it's finished, but not while you're making an object.
Okay, great. Good one, Michaela. Great advice. Thank you so much. What's the best thing you've made in pottery before?
Probably like a little penguin.
A penguin? Oh, Tommy, do you think you could do a penguin?
I mean, I've reverted back to just a chunk of clay.
Yeah, your plate's gone.
How many times did it take you to do the penguin? Was it like your first go or was it like attempt number 17?
First go.
That's good. My first go.
I love Michaela.
Okay.
Thanks, Michaela. Charmaine, any advice for Tommy as he learns to do pottery?
Yeah. I love all your callers, but they're sending you in so many wrong directions.
Oh, okay. Gosh. Set us back on track, Charmaine.
Yeah, you have to put it in a kiln, and that's up to 1,200 degrees Celsius.
Whoa.
And you're thinking about it all the wrong way. You've got to become at one with the clay.
Okay.
You've got to become the clay, you know?
How do you do that, Charmaine?
I have seen ghosts.
Wow.
You just channel the ghost, No. You don't fight the clay. You just become, zen with it. You don't fight it.
Even in this conversation, he's changed his technique. He's all of a sudden flipping it about and he's gone quite calm.
Yeah, you just be gentle and just let, and, it'll become whatever it wants to be.
That's a good attitude.
It is.
What it wants to be at the moment is a crap bowl with holes in it, Charmaine.
You know what? You can't buy them at Kmart, though, can you?
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Happy Thursday, Arvo. Carrie and Tommy doing it all thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Shop the Chemist Warehouse Spring Frenzy Sale and stop paying too much, guys.
That clay you rubbed over your face there, it's done nothing.
I know. No. I've got to get in and get some
proper stuff.
Price, cosmetics. Beautiful skin products.
Yeah, and some vitamins while you're there. Make yourself glue.
Do you think they're open to a barter deal?
What do you mean?
I could take in one of my ceramic plates that I've just made in exchange for some beautiful BioGland products.
No.
Can we get a photo of the beautiful bowl that you've made, mate?
Yes, we will. We'll whack it up on Insta.
Okay, Tommy Show.
It's actually looking very good. I'm actually surprised. I'm not surprised, actually. Everything you do, you end up being able to do. That's going to be my mission while we do this show, to find something you can't do. I mean, that's a positive way to kick off.
Intense. I'm going to break you.
No, I just mean you're very good at stuff.
Okay. What's coming up? Oh, I've got something.
You've got something.
I've got something.
Yeah.
It's a little cash hustle for you and the family.
Oh,
I know.
Great.
Sandra and I have spotted it and you're going to love it. It's next.
We'll do it next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And coming up next, a flight that you can get on if you're missing a little bit of travel at the moment.
Oh, damn, really?
This is fun.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll stay tuned. Bickers,
how
do you feel? Now, we'll have to ask Walks about this as well.
Okay.
How do you guys feel about making a bit of cash on the side?
I mean, always open to it.
Yeah. And you know how you tell me, you say, hey, I don't like to tell everybody my earnings, but it's about 30 quid an hour. And I say, sorry? And you say, I earn 30 quid an hour. And I said, why are you dealing in quid? And you say, because, I'm an international woman of mystery.
That's what I say.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I can get you an extra, you and Walks.
Yep.
And
so,
extra,
hold on, we have to do it together?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And you both have to be consenting. 30 quid
yep.
an hour.
What's that in Australian dollars? I know as a woman, an international woman of history, I should know.
Let's just say $50 or $60.
Okay, $50 an hour on the side for the family. Yes. What are Chris and I having to do?
What do you know about pour moi?
It was a French style adult, video. Pour moi.
Oh, but no, pour moi.
Pour moi.
Pour moi.
Is it?
Hello,
something...
I'm here to shop at pour moi.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard of it.
Oh.
Is it and something you eat?
No, it means for me. In English. You know that being a woman of mystery. I'm so sorry. Yeah. You need to give feedback in this role. You need to try a product and give feedback.
Oh, so it's not give feedback to Chris because I was going to say I do that often.
Well, actually, you have to give feedback to each other about the seductive powers of some sets of lingerie for £30 an hour. They're looking for lingerie testers.
That's weird that you guys have all decided this would be something that Chris and I want to do. What do you think's happening? This is very strange. So I put on lingerie and then say, what do you think?
No. Chris could put it on.
Oh, sorry, we're both giving each other feedback.
And then you go, pour moi, and then Chris goes, pour moi.
Have you got any images of what his get-up would be?
Oh, I'm not a pervert, mate. I haven't looked into the photos.
But I don't want to delve into you and Chris's stuff. We're sharing the same lingerie, is there lingerie for his and her?
I think he wears I think it's all pour moi.
It's all pour moi.
I still don't know what pour moi means.
It's for me, mate. What don't you understand? Sorry. You need to learn more off the international stuff here.
He's not much of a lingerie man.
How many quid an hour are you on? Yeah. Is he not?
That's why it has to be because.
That's because he hasn't been getting paid enough.
He hasn't heard me say, babe, pour moi.
Oh, pour moi. Pour moi. Oh, babe, chuck on your pour moi.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Thursday afternoon. And it is time for this.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
Have you been missing plane flights?
Oh, yeah. I would do anything for a plane flight.
Would you?
What?
Because that's only funny because we were talking about flying. Anyway, nothing.
Yeah, expand.
Don't explain it.
No, I can't explain it. We'll be taken off air. However, this is a bit of fun. No one can go anywhere at the moment. Borders are shut, international, domestic. No one's doing anything, but Qantas has decided it wants people to experience the feeling of flying again. So they're doing this special flight. How's this? It goes for 7 hours. It's a scenic joy flight that crosses the Whitsundays, Gold Coast, Byron Bay, Uluru, Sydney Harbour. You eat on this plane
from Sydney,
you fly around.
You eat on this plane.
What do you mean?
Like that's what you normally do on planes.
No. Yeah. So you eat nice food.
You eat on this plane.
Like Neil Perry food.
That's Qantas always have
that. Yes, that's true. But you're not just having a snack pack.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is it taking off from Sydney?
It departs from Sydney Airport on October 10. It's a little exy, as you would expect, because it's pretty, amazing.
Yeah.
But it's your way. Then,
how much?
$780 for an economy seat, $1,700 for premium, and $3,700
for
business.
To where you took off.
Yes, but you get to see all the most beautiful parts of Australia.
Plus you had airport parking on that.
Yeah. Unless you have an aisle seat.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Stuck
you get
the
on
middle.
There and you're in the middle and you have to go, excuse me, can I just, sorry, I just, excuse me. You'd really enjoy the food then, wouldn't you?
You'd be really glad there's food on board.
Hey, it appears that Gigi Hadid and Zayn Malik may have had their baby.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Gigi's dad, Muhammad Hadid, the multi-millionaire,
Where did he get his money?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Posted a post on Instagram today saying, "Hello, little grandchild. It is me. My heart is happy as can be. I wish for you the sun and the moon. I wish for you a happy time." I'm not going to read on.
I cried a tear
because I knew my heart would always belong to you. That caption has been quickly taken down because everyone started messaging him saying, "Oh my God, have they had their baby?"
Oh.
So there's been no official word, but he may have let the little cat out of the bag.
Oh, okay. Well, all the best to them.
All the best to them. Kanye West. Oh. What's Kanye doing now?
No, I used to love him so much.
Something weird's happening. He's been on this tirade about the music industry, for a while now. And he got on Twitter and he put his Grammy in a toilet bowl and peed on it.
And filmed it.
And filmed
That's the important part.
Yeah. We'll put it on our Insta if you need to
We're putting
see
that
it.
Up.
Carrie and Tommy show.
The things I'm not allowed to say on the show, and they were like, Kanye's pissing on a Grammy. Have a look.
He captioned the clip, "Trust me, I won't stop."
Well, you will at some point.
Yeah. I don't really understand what his issue is with the music industry, but he's got major issues.
I love what Jesse said about this. Jesse made a very good point about the Grammy in the toilet bowl. Jesse, would you mind repeating?
Is that you just know that he has to pick it out of the toilet because it's not going to flush, so he's covered it in piss.
Do you think he's picking it out or he's making someone else pick it out? Yeah, I don't reckon he's
That's the day you walk away from that job. Yeah. What was it like being Kanye's assistant?
I got a Grammy out of it.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Yes, it is. And coming up a little bit later on, $1,000, all thanks to the Monopoly game at Macca's to give away. But right now, I'm very excited.
I've been watching snake videos. Oh, a snake was wrapped around a petrol pump in Melbourne, and then I saw another snake just then in somebody's glove box. Ooh, it's snake season. They're all coming out.
Isn't that the big fear is that you remember how we hear the stories of running over them and coming to your car?
So the one in the petrol station came up from the bottom of someone's car, had travelled in from the bush, and then it climbed onto the petrol pump and the guy went to fill up and it was there.
I think I need help.
I mean, you go first with what area, because if I guess, it could get a bit sad.
I'm just not sure if I've made a mistake or not. Someone sent me a mildly abusive message online, and
about what?
I can't say it, but just along the lines of you're not good at being a comedian.
Okay,
but with slightly more colourful language,
sure,
which is fine.
Was like a direct message or something?
And so I wrote back, and I said it's $5 an insult, and then put my account.
To the guy that insulted you.
Yeah. And then
you gave him your BSB?
Yeah, my BSB and account number.
Why?
I just could see if he paid.
Paid what? $5 and just kept insulting you?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I figure he gets something out of it, I get something out of it. That way it's kind of more of a mutual. No, he didn't. He didn't. But I posted that screenshot on.
I saw that.
It's on Instagram. And
hold on, that BSB that I saw on your Instagram is your actual BSB. That's not a pretend account you set up.
So now I'm not sure whether to say that it is.
oh, my God, it is.
I think it's pretty clear.
You posted your bank account details online?
Yeah, because how is the money getting good to
me otherwise? So I saw that post. You asked for people to transfer money.
No, I didn't. It was just here. I haven't asked for people to do that.
But have people been doing it?
Yeah, they have.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they have. They've just been dropping some insults into my bank account.
What are you doing? How much cash have you made?
Not much, not much. But that's not the thing I'm concerned about. The thing I'm concerned about is I did get a couple of messages that may have said something along the lines of, hey, mate, I know you wouldn't be dumb enough to post your actual BSB and account number, but just in case you did, you should remove it because people can set up direct debits from your account.
Okay, well, we're all just going to take a moment to rush to Instagram and write down your BSB own direct debits.
No, don't do that.
I've got a gas bill to pay. Shall I just do it with your money?
What was your Instagram again?
Mrs. Tommy Little.
No, this is why I didn't want to talk about it online. I don't know.
So is that an actual thing? So people can use your BSB?
I don't know, mate. I'm now trying to transfer money out of my account.
What, you're trying to empty it so that people can't do it?
I'm trying to put less in it.
Can we test it and see if someone
can? Before we were on air, mate.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know you were going to labour on the point so much.
Well, what else would we labour on?
I don't know, mate. I'm transferring.
Okay. I feel like you need to actually know, though. There may be no reason to transfer. You might be fine.
Oh, okay.
Should I try and set up
a direct debit and see if it works?
What are you going to pay, Vickers?
I've got so many bills piled up.
Don't do
that. I haven't had my personal admin day where I go through and pay my bills. I could make that this afternoon.
Just deposit money and abuse me like everyone else, please.
I mean, that's fun too. I'll do that as well.
How big do you go with the bill? Because if it's too much, it gets rejected.
Oh, that is true. Lots of little ones.
Yeah, great
Don't
idea.
Tell people yep. how to
for
do
any
it.
Of those playing at home.
Don't tell people how to do it.
131060, though. You should find out if this is an actual thing.
Yes, and everybody pause on what you're doing. Everybody just wait and let's find
you're
out if
you're such an
it's
idiot.
A thing.
What are you doing? Then,
well, I thought when we talked about this, we weren't going to make it so obvious.
Of course we were going to make it obvious.
It could be any number, so let's all pause on what we're doing.
13,
but
10,
let's hear
60.
Hypothetically, if it was mine, could people set up direct debits for my account?
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
For your Thursday afternoon, Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little, and we're in the middle of a bit of money chat.
Don't steal my money.
I've worked out what's happened here. This is your way of getting more followers, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Because now everyone's gone onto your Insta because they want to try and rip you off.
I mean, I don't want to pay for that, no.
This post has got the most comments you've had in a long time.
No, I remember the pants with the what look like spoof stains.
Okay, that's gross.
What, that did?
Okay. Anyway, you've posted your BSB details on there as part of a fight you're having with some guy that DM'd you an insult. And you've said,
$5
the guy said, by the way, you're a comedian who the next gen of comics will have no respect for.
I know.
Ouch.
I know,
and then
I
you've written back, it's $5 for an insult, fun bag, pay up. Yeah. And then you've put your actual BSB in account.
Well, no,
number.
We don't know that yet.
No, you definitely have.
No,
we all assumed it wasn't the actual thing because you wouldn't be so dumb. That you've actually done it, and now people have said
we're not sure yet if it's my actual account because we don't know whether.
Okay, it's your actual account. Now you're worried that people can set up direct debits associated with those BSB numbers. Daniel, are people going to rip Tommy off?
No, you're right, mate. If you had a posted your credit card details, if your expiry and CVV, or if you had a posted your account login details and password, you might be in a problem. But think, like, the BSB, about probably 50,000, 100, or probably even a couple hundred thousand other people would share the same BSB number because it's just a bank service branch number. And the account number, usually the account numbers are only about an 8-digit number. So it'd be pretty easy to guess somebody else's BSB and account number if you're just typing in random numbers. And then just think about the amount of places where you pay for online orders and you businesses that have BSBs and account details on invoices payable. You can't have your money stolen or anything from that.
In that case, it's my real account number and BSB. Good on you, Daniel. Thank you.
Although Stella feels differently. Stella, you're a bank teller, yeah?
I am. And as far as I'm concerned, no one could come into a branch and actually withdraw money from your account because there would be several security questions that they probably wouldn't be able to answer. But for say, if you were to sign up for a gym membership and you put down, you know, they put down your BSB and account number, I actually believe that they'd be able to direct debit that out of your bank.
It is not my account number.
Oh, my God.
It's not mine. It's absolutely
mate,
not.
Mate, what have you done?
It's not, though, mine.
But I don't understand how that's two opposing opinions about whether you're...
Have we got anyone else?
We got Anna. Anna, solve this for us. Should Tommy be rushing off to his bank to get a new BSB?
Well, no, like the first guy said, the account number is written on the bottom of everybody's checks. So anytime you write out a check, the account number's there for anyone to see. So it's still pretty safe. But if with the last person that said the gym membership, you still have to sign a permission to let them use that number.
Right. So are you giving permission? Is this your permission to everybody?
I mean, I've signed a lot of merch over the years.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not. No.
Because it's not yours, though, was it?
It's not mine. How could I give permission to something that is not mine? Thank you, Bickmore.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right around the country, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
There's a book going around that the young peeps are reading.
Oh, 50 Shades.
No, I think the old peeps are reading that.
Is it?
No young person is reading 50 Shades.
Aren't they? I don't know.
I don't think you'd find any 18 to 24-year-old reading 50
Rockin'
Shades.
50 Shades. I finished Goosebumps, onto 50 Shades. What are the young peeps reading?
The young people are reading a book called Women Don't Owe You Pretty.
Women don't owe you pretty. Okay.
And it starts with a quote, and it's written by a girl called Florence Given, and it starts with a quote that says, you don't owe prettiness to anyone, not to your boyfriend, spouse, partner, not to your co-workers, especially not to random men on the street. You don't owe it to your mother. You don't owe it to your children. You don't owe it to civilization in general. Prettiness is not a rent you pay for occupying a space marked female. And that quote is by Erin McKean.
Well, if that's your bio on Tinder, it's not going to get you very far.
That quote changed this woman's life. This girl, this 21-year-old, this author is 21 and it apparently changed her life. But that's not the quote I want to talk about.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
My friend Abby, who keeps me in touch with the young people because she's young herself, sent me this message and she said, this quote makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Okay.
And Belle has read this book as well, so we can ask Belle to interpret if we struggle. She said, this is the quote, what is better, uncomfortable truth or comfortable lies?
Comfortable lies.
I was about to say, people fall into two camps and you're in the ladder. Every truth is kindness.
We're done.
Every truth is kindness, if it makes others uncomfortable. Untruth is an unkindness, if it makes others comfortable.
If you walk in and you say, I love my hair this colour and it's bright blue and I, in my honest heart of hearts, think it looks stupid. Do you think that's nice of me to say to you, I think your hair looks stupid?
But perhaps if it does look stupid, what that's going to mean for the world when I go out into it and carry around my stupid head, I will have been thankful in the long run that you told me. You're looking at me intently.
I thought the first quote meant that you
don't care about it.
Yeah.
But then
why should I say mean things just because I honestly believe them? I think white
not
lies.
Not mean things. I don't think all truths have to be mean. In that case, it is. In that case, yeah, it is very mean.
And so shouldn't I shut my mouth and say, I love your hair. I reckon it's great that you've gone with blue.
I think it's meaning bigger picture. When you don't actually be honest with yourself and the people around you, that it causes
I lie to myself all the time.
I know.
I look at myself in the mirror and I say, those tattoos are good and well done and good choices.
If you're working with somebody who's being, what?
You're very, very awkward.
No, but these are the scenarios in life, Sonda. You would be someone that speaks the truth, wouldn't you?
Yes, but...
Even if it's unkind?
I've seen you lie through your teeth.
No, I absolutely lie a lot. And I would only do it if I was really helping someone and they asked me. But if you were, once again, the blue hair example.
I feel like that's maybe not the example this author's talking about.
Where I thought their partner wasn't good for them and I thought their partner was mean to them.
Okay, that's a great example.
And so I've told them that
and
then they've stopped being friends with me and they've stayed with their partner.
But do you think if you'd lied to them and said their partner was good, that was the best course of action there, or what you did is exactly what you should have done?
Well, no, because I'd still be friends with them and I think they'd have more friends and they'd be less isolated than they are now.
So we should just all lie to each other.
No, but I think you should say things with the intent of being nice to the person you're saying them to.
Belle, I need your thoughts here. This is your wheelhouse.
Okay. Well, I really think that I, in the past, have been a comfortable liar, right? That's the one. That's the option.
Yep.
But I aspire,
and if I was brave, which I hope to be in the future, I want to be an uncomfortable truth person. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I just reckon. So
I think
often,
the more confident I am in myself, the better I will be able to tell the truth.
I think the flip side of this is so dangerous because I think people get to say horrible things and they get to tell themselves that it's fine because they use the excuse, well, I'm just being honest
with you. But do you think maybe we're looking at it at a far too shallow area? They're talking about the uncomfortable truths about who you are, what you represent, the people around you, as opposed to your hair looks crap today, which it doesn't, by the way. It looks really nice. Do you know what I mean?
Was that comfortable?
That was a comfortable lie. The mullet is growing nicely.
See, we both feel great about that.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right around the country, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
There's a book going around that the young peeps are reading.
Oh, 50 Shades.
No, I think the old peeps are reading that.
Is it?
No young person is reading 50 Shades.
Aren't they? I don't know.
I don't think you'd find any 18 to 24-year-old reading 50
Rockin'
Shades.
50 Shades. I finished Goosebumps, onto 50 Shades. What are the young peeps reading?
The young people are reading a book called Women Don't Owe You Pretty.
Women Don't Owe You Pretty. Okay.
And it starts with a quote, and it's written by a girl called Florence Given, and it starts with a quote that says, you don't owe prettiness to anyone, not to your boyfriend, spouse, partner, not to your co-workers, especially not to random men on the street. You don't owe it to your mother. You don't owe it to your children. You don't owe it to civilization in general. Prettiness is not a rent you pay for occupying a space marked female. And that quote is by Erin McKean.
Well, if that's your bio on Tinder, it's not going to get you very far.
That quote changed this woman's life. This girl, this 21-year-old, this author is 21 and it apparently changed her life. But that's not the quote I want to talk about.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
My friend Abby, who keeps me in touch with the young people because she's young herself, sent me this message and she said, this quote makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Okay.
And Belle has read this book as well, so we can ask Belle to interpret if we struggle. She said, this is the quote, what is better, uncomfortable truth or comfortable lies?
Comfortable lies.
I was about to say, people fall into two camps and you're in the ladder. Every truth is kindness. Every truth is kindness, even if it makes others uncomfortable.
Every
untruth is an unkindness, even if it makes others comfortable.
If you walk in and you say, I love my hair this colour and it's bright blue and I, in my honest heart of hearts, think it looks stupid. Do you think that's nice of me to say to you, I think your hair looks stupid?
But perhaps if it does look stupid, what that's going to mean for the world when I go out into it and carry around my stupid head, I will have been thankful in the long run that you told me. You're looking at me intently.
I thought the first quote meant that you
I don't care about it.
Yeah.
But
so then why should I say mean things just because I honestly believe them? I think white
not
lies.
Not mean things. I don't think all truths have to be mean. They can be done
in that case it is.
In that case, yeah, it's very mean.
So shouldn't I shut my mouth and say, I love your hair. I reckon it's great that you've gone with blue.
I think it's meaning bigger picture. When you don't actually be honest with yourself and the people around you, that it causes
I lie to myself all the time.
I know.
I look at myself in the mirror and I say, those tattoos are good and well done and good choices.
If you're working with somebody who's being, what?
Very, very awkward.
No, but these are the scenarios in life, Sonda. You would be someone that speaks the truth, wouldn't you?
Yes, but...
Even if it's unkind?
I've seen you lie through your teeth.
No, I absolutely lie a lot. And I would only do it if I thought it was really, if I was really helping someone and they asked me. But if you were, once again, the blue hair example.
I feel like that's not the example this author's talking about.
Where I thought their partner wasn't good for them and I thought their partner was mean to them.
Okay, that's a great example.
And so I've told them that
and
then they've stopped being friends with me and they've stayed with their partner.
But do you think if you'd lied to them and said their partner was good, that was the best course of action there, or what you did is exactly what you should have done?
Well, no, because I'd still be friends with them and I think they'd have more friends and they'd be less isolated than they are now.
So we should just all lie to each other.
No, but I think you should say things with the intent of being nice to the person you're saying them to.
Belle, I need your thoughts here. This is your wheelhouse.
Okay. Well, I really think that I, in the past, have been a comfortable liar, right? That's the one. That's the option.
Yep.
But I aspire,
and if I was brave, which I hope to be in the future, I want to be an uncomfortable truth person. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I just reckon. So
I think
often,
the more confident I am in myself, the better I will be able to tell the truth.
I think the flip side of this is so dangerous because I think people get to say horrible things and they get to tell themselves that it's fine because they use the excuse, well, I'm just being honest
with
you.
But do you think maybe we're looking at it at a far too shallow area? They're talking about the uncomfortable truths about who you are, what you represent, the people around you, as opposed to your hair looks crap today, which it doesn't, by the way. It looks really nice. Do you know what I mean?
Was that comfortable?
That was a comfortable lie. The mullet is growing nicely.
See, we both feel great about that.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right across the country this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I mean, she's an ultramarathoner, she's an author, she's done so much stuff that she makes the rest of us feel like we've done nothing in comparison. She has a brand new book. It is called Happy and Other Ridiculous Aspirations, and she joins us now. Turia Pitt, g'day.
Hello. Hey, Carrie. Hey, Tommy. How are you guys going?
Yeah, good legend. Are you going to teach me how to be happy? Is that what's happening here?
I'm always happy to teach you anything that you want, Tommy.
Maybe she could teach you also how to do an ultramarathon.
Oh, I mean...
you could learn to be happy at the same time. Double whammy.
Is ultramarathons, Turia, just a sign that that person can do anything?
Look, I'm an ultramarathon runner, so I'd like to say yes, but who knows? Aren't you an ultramarathon runner? Didn't you just do something crazy on the ice? Or
I did one marathon and I'll never do it again. Turia, how much of a quick, how quick is it to go from zero to happy?
Look, I always like to think that happiness isn't a destination. Like, we don't just rock up at happiness train station and go, woohoo, we're here. It's more of a wiggle line, and some days we feel really great and happy, and other days we might feel a bit angry or bored or just a bit bleh. And I think a part of being genuinely happy is accepting that we're not going to be happy all of the time. And that's why I guess I call it a ridiculous aspiration.
Is it fair to say that you've obviously been through a lot? I did not know the number of operations that you had after you burnt. 200 operations, and you spent 2 years in recovery. Is it fair to say that compared to most people, you started a fair way back from the start line to get to happy?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I've been through a pretty hard time, but I guess most of us go through hard times in life, whether that's getting burnt during an ultramarathon or going through a global pandemic, which we're all facing right now. And I really think that it's only going through a hard time, whatever that hard time is, that we learn resilience. And by going through a hard time, it forces us to step up, to reach out, to adapt, to change, to reprioritize, to take stock. And so I think for me, really, I think a crisis or a hard time, it cuts through all the bullshit. It makes us present. It betters us. Mm-hmm. And amongst all of that grief and stress and anxiety, I think that's what really helps us tap into what it means to be happy.
Do you know the thing that struck out for me in the book, Turia, was you talking about just how basic and small the steps were post the major incident that you went through in your life to then get you to a point where you felt like you could live life again. Like, they were really, really, which I think will resonate with a lot of people who can't see their way out of something. Like, they were so basic, the steps you did each day.
Oh, so basic, Carrie. Like, you know, my goal for the day might be walk 3 laps of the hallway. So they were really basic, small things that, you know, part of me thought was really pathetic, you know, to get excited about eating your whole lunch. But, I mean, who doesn't get excited by that?
I was going to say, I still do. Yeah.
But I think that's really important. It's so important for us to be able to acknowledge what we've done well.
Turia, it's not just your words in the book. You also interview a lot of other people, athletes, scientists, comedians, experts. What was the thing that you learnt that helped you the most from those chats with other people?
But the most interesting, although, like, the coolest person that I interviewed was Eddie Jaku, the Holocaust survivor. Yeah. He just had, like, really simple, succinct pearls of wisdom that really resonated with me. And one of the main things that he said that helps him to be happy is just being grateful for what you've got. And it's something that, you know, like, our grandparents probably tell us all of the time, to count our blessings, training your brain to focus on the positive, and that really helps you develop, like, a positive and healthy mindset.
He's pretty dapper too, right? I always see him rocking cool hats.
Look, he's pretty hot. Like for an older gentleman, he's suave, you know? He's got, like, charisma and character. So, yeah.
You've got your own hottie in your house. I love how Michael's review of your book was, "It was good, doll."
Yeah, I know. It was like, what did you think, doll? Was it like, did you stay up late reading it? Did you find it funny? He's like, yeah, it was good, doll. Good job.
Good. I mean, you got to have those people around you keep you grounded, don't you?
Oh, you do. I'm sure your family keeps you grounded too, Carrie.
Mate, we spend most of our life trying to get a new plunger to unplug our toilet, so we're well and truly grounded in our house.
I can't wait till your follow-up book, Getting Rid of Constipation and Other Ridiculous Aspirations. The book is called Happy and Other Ridiculous Aspirations. Turia Pitt, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Have a great day. I appreciate it.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
It'll be Thursday afternoon. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. We got Hughie and Ed as well.
Yeah.
Hey, boys.
Pumped up.
Now, following on
the big boys, superstar DJs.
Here we go.
So, something that we spoke about the other day, Hughie's doing a deep dive. Remember, we were talking about dangerous foods. Carrie, you put the fear of Yahweh into us all with the idea that, was it rice?
No, it was.
You put the fear of rice into all of
it. I haven't eaten sushi since.
No,
that was the white one.
You're not talking about it being unhealthy. You can't eat it 5 days later because it creates salmonella.
Actually, I've got one to add to that before we move on. Avocado. Is that good? Like, I heard that was fattening. Avocado.
No, it's great for you. It's the best fats.
But you won't be able to buy a house.
Amino? No.
Don't know either, but it is the good fats, yes.
But tell me more about this salmonella rice.
Well, Hughie today is going to unveil the world's most dangerous food.
Yeah, and it will blow your mind. And it's happening after 6 p.m., so you're going to have to set your alarms and just come out of your project meeting. Or no, actually, you're not doing the project tonight, are you? So
not get bogged down in the details. I will set my alarm and I'll be ready to find out what you're eating.
Anyway.
It's big.
Can you give us some hints? Is it a delicacy or is it something?
No, it's common
that
food.
Everyone is going to be terrified.
Can we ask, is it sweet or savory?
I'm going to say it's savoury. Yeah.
And by this, just to confirm, this is the food that can often make you sick, you're saying?
Yeah, the most common cause of food poisoning in the world.
On the topic of sweet and savoury, is it okay? Here's what happened this morning, and I want to know, is it okay to call a stranger an idiot out of loud, out of your mouth? Because a man was standing at a cafe and his friend was at the counter. And his friend said, he goes, I want something. And in the counter, there's a display thing with croissants and stuff in there. And his friend goes, there's ham and cheese. And he goes, nah. And then what's the one next to it? And the woman behind the counter said, cheese and herbs. And he goes, nah, is there anything savoury? And his mate said, they're savoury. Yeah. And he goes, no, the chocolate croissant, get me that.
Wow.
Is that enough to call a man an idiot? Out of your own mouth?
Yeah. Well, you're going to, depending on the look of the guy. And
I was going to say, you're going to need a full physical description.
I was safe.
Was he armed?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You should. Yes. We should all start doing that, just judging people on the street, you know? Why not? Right. It's the worst thing
I do it at airports. I've been told my wife won't go through the security at the same time as me because I lecture people as I go through.
Oh, do you?
It is annoying when people don't take anything out.
There we go. So laptop. Obviously I used to fly a lot back when we... Tommy. I'll often say behind people, I'll go, there's a laptop in that bag, there's a laptop in that bag, there's a laptop in that bag, there's a laptop in that bag.
I wouldn't even catch the same plane as you.
It might be an iPad as well and you don't have to take iPads out, do you?
I know what a laptop looks like.
Yeah. I know a bloke who's forgotten his laptop when I see one.
Hey, is it mayonnaise?
No, it's not mayonnaise. You have to wait. It's connected to mayonnaise, though, but it isn't mayonnaise.
It's something to do with egg.
I'm going
to
be listening.
Nothing to do with egg.
This is nothing to do with egg? Raw egg?
You can have egg with it. No, I'm not going to. Well, let's wait.
A smoothie.
Do you know, as soon as our show finishes, we are going to pepper you guys with phone calls as soon as your show starts with more guesses.
Well, this is good. This is a good one, Hughie. Yeah, I like it.
Stick around. Hughie and Ed up next.
Carrie and Tommy are off to get themselves a bargain at Chemist Warehouse. For the biggest range of half-price vitamins and cosmetics, shop at the Chemist Warehouse Spring Frenzy Sale and stop paying too much.